roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
Hello, Junkie Nation. It's Gorgeous George and Goz. Different intro today because it's going to be a different type of a show. We're just going to wander around and cover the latest news, also preview UFC on ESPN plus 33. So it's going to be fun. Don't turn us off. Don't unsubscribe. It's just going to be different. You know, we're at the fight capital of the world and all that stuff. You know, Goz is devious and dastardly. No, we just wanted to do it a little bit different today. It's August 27th. It's early Thursday. We're kind of scrounging a little bit because we had a real fun show yesterday on Sportscaster where we talked to Laura Sanko and then covered a lot. But I guess we were really distracted by what's been going on with in Kenosha, Wisconsin, that has spilled over into the sports world. You had some NBA games that were canceled. You had some Major League Baseball games that were canceled. And heck, I was telling Goz, I wonder if something may happen overnight. Maybe one of the fighters doesn't have to be African-American, but what if one of the African-American fighters decides to also join, I guess, in the protest, like a Neil Magny, or I believe Anthony Smith is part African-American as well. And those are main event, co-main events. So here we are on an early Thursday. We're going to cover some of that and cover, obviously, some of the latest news in MMA. Buckle up, folks. Here we go.
Damas y caballeros, hablemos MMA con Danny Segura.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura here. Just wanted to drop in and tell you about a new show coming to MMA Junkie. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language podcast dedicated to all things professional fighting. On this show, we'll be covering the biggest news and topics of MMA, plus highlighting the most relevant stories happening in the growing Latin American scene. Hablemos MMA will also feature interviews with some of the best fighters, coaches, personalities, and experts in the game. You can find us every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform, starting July 27th. Talk to you then.
Well, that indeed, Goz, is the biggest news going on right now in sports. And that was the cancellation of those NBA games because I didn't even say it goes in the intro, possible season. Teams, top teams right now. I know the Clippers aren't usually known as a top NBA team, but they're one of the top teams in the NBA right now. And them and the Lakers both, I think it was like sort of an informal vote of what we would do, not anything that was casted and NBA-wide or anything, but they are willing to do that, cancel the season and as part of a protest. That's crazy. I don't think I've seen that in my lifetime.
No, when you think about it, we've seen strikes before, right? You know, growing up and stuff, but when you think about it, the way everything happened so quickly with COVID-19 and the way leagues reacted, you know, one shut down, then the next one, then the next one, the next one, then everything kind of blew up. You have no idea what could happen in the sports world if something like this were to happen, right? Like, it would probably, I would imagine, trickle over to hockey, right? They're in the middle of their playoffs, which one of the reasons we didn't do the show last night was it could trickle over into MMA. You never know. These are passionate people around the world, not just in the NBA. So you never know what could happen, but you have to think, I mean, Dana's political ties are pretty much out there. He's doing a speech for Donald Trump, for crying out loud,
tonight.
I don't know if anybody in MMA would do this. And I definitely don't think a card would shut down.
Well, if you do it, you miss your payday.
You do, Mr. Yeah. Payday. Yeah, I mean, that's very huge for mixed martial artists.
It's not
right?
guaranteed only like NBA, and they make a ton of money.
Uh-huh. It's the NBA, even if they sat out, you know, even though they sat out last night, there's a good chance in a couple days they could be back on the court, right? With MMA, I don't know that it works that way.
I think Neil Magny could pull it off, and I'll tell you why. Because, and I'll respect Neil Magny whether he does it or doesn't, but I'm explaining here. He is a former veteran of the armed forces. I believe he was in the Army. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But I know he's a veteran of our military. And so I could see him doing it. He has worked for the company for so long that I think the matchmaker and Dana would probably say, hey, you do what you got to do. And I don't think that when he walks out of the room, Dana says, ice him for the next 9 months. Which means keep him on the shelf. Don't fight him again. Teach him a lesson. I don't think he would do that to Neil Magny. I really don't. Neil Magny doesn't give off any sort of a vibe at all. I think you just can't. He's very likable, you know. So now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Maybe Dana would do it to everyone, or maybe Dana has select few. I don't know. But it's different in MMA. They definitely don't make as much as NBA. I mean, they're not even in the same ballpark, folks. I'll always point to Damon Lillard. I couldn't believe when he signed 4 years, $160 million or something like that. That's $40 million a year guaranteed. That means he could blow out his knee and be out for the whole year and still make $40 million. Did you know last year, Kevin, what's my man's name? They used to play Golden State?
Durant?
Durant, yes. I was thinking Garnett. He signed a contract, goes, as a free agent with he's with the New Jersey Nets, right? And he got paid all year. So they signed him with a fucked up, he had the Achilles, I believe. That's how great their collective bargaining is. It's all guaranteed, and that's how valuable he is, that they were like, okay, you're going to be with us for the next 4 years. You ain't going to give a shit next year, but we're still going to pay you a ton of money because that's how bad we want you. And this weekend, I think Neil Magny's lucky if he makes 75, and 75 if he wins, by the way, not just the whole 150, but that's how astronomical it is. And I imagine Durant makes what Lillard makes, probably like $40 million a year, $45 million a year. I don't know, but it's huge.
I'm going to put it in perspective for you, okay? Mm-hmm. I think your jaw might drop right now. But Neil Magny, we just said what we believe he probably makes, right? This is the NBA league minimum, okay? $893,310.
Right.
That's the minimum. If you're Joe Schmo sitting on the bench and you never see the court the entire year, that's what you're going to make for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Guaranteed. Guaranteed with all of the other, I'm sure they have some sort of a retirement and everything. And folks, this isn't really a show just about that. We're going back to you saying if there's maybe some fighters that would do that this weekend. We would think the African-American fighters would be the more likely, but I believe anybody can protest. And if you recall, after the death of George Floyd, there was protest in a lot of countries, not just the United States. A lot of countries were protesting.
Yeah. France.
I mean, there's African-Americans UK. Everywhere, or blacks, you know, because obviously in other countries, they're not American, but they're of African descent. But yeah, there was a lot of them. So this can happen anywhere. And this is in reaction to the shooting for Jacob Blake. And then after that, there was another shooting. I don't know the young kid's name. Frankly, I don't even want to learn it. But I know he was 17. Some kid playing militia went out there and I think may have taken a couple lives. I know he shot some people.
I'm doing the same thing.
Did he take lives?
Yeah. Okay. Two people.
Two people. That's a whole other animal there. Our thoughts and prayers are in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We have a good friend there in Ben Rothwell, who I've been communicating with. He's heartbroken.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah. I'm going out of my way. Like when the shooting happened in Vegas, I don't want to know that guy's name. One time somebody did say it and I heard it, but I really tried to phase it out. And I'm doing the same thing of these guys.
I've forgotten it.
I am forgetting all these people.
If you said it, like if you needed it to know it, and someone said, I go, yeah, that's him. But I really right now, I can't remember it.
Yeah, me neither.
So, and that's just the way it is. I don't want to remember it. But anyway, as far as I know, we hit the refresh plenty of times before the show started, and I haven't seen anything like that from the UFC. Hopefully the UFC maybe does acknowledge it. I believe they did something for George Floyd. And if they don't, that's fine too. All this is really unfolding quickly, and we're in a pandemic. I don't know at what speeds the whole company of the UFC is working, and if they could do something like that. Maybe the play-by-play guy might say something. I don't know, because this is really, really sports is dear to me, and I know it's dear to Goes. And I'm going to honestly say I do applaud those players for taking that stand. The NBA, I believe, is about 75% black, and they know they have positions of power. A lot of them are very influential, even outside of basketball. So I believe some of them, like LeBron James, are taking the lead here and actually talking about the campaign, because that's kind of putting your mouth where your money is, in a way. You know, saying this is more important than sports. Because think about, have you ever seen the reaction to these guys when they win a world title? I mean, they cry like babies, you know, mm-hmm. because it's something they've always dreamed about. And the two of the top teams, the Lakers and the Clippers, it's way tougher for them to go cancel the whole season than some team that's down 3-1 right now, you know, yeah. in the playoffs, or some team that got bounced a couple days ago. Like the Pacers got bounced 4-0. They have every right to go, yeah, cancel it. No one wins.
It's nuts, know? Because
or even the ones that never even made it. How about Phoenix? That little screw
job. Oh, I know. If you're the Lakers, like if you're a Laker fan like us, there's a good chance next year Anthony's gone, mm-hmm. right? Like Anthony Davis could be gone, right? This is like kind of their window.
And that'll certain be LeBron's third like out that. Of 4 years, and he's getting older, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it is a big deal what they're doing. But I was talking to some friends last night, and I couldn't believe, like, on Twitter, there were just so many opinions that were flying really quick. And I was telling them, you know, I think you almost have to, like, even the players included, you almost have to sleep on this, because this is something that we've never seen. There's so many things going on. There's so much hate flying left and right. You should have done this. You should do this. At first it was games were being stopped. Now it could be a season. We've never seen anything like that. There's so much going on. I told him, you almost can't rush to Twitter and write your opinion, because mm-hmm. a good example, Colby Covington, who I imagine we're going to get to, mm-hmm. that was one of the things he brought up. That was one of his quotes, right? Was oh, okay, you're taking a game off. How about taking the whole season? Like, within minutes, I think, of him saying that is when this actually happened. So I went to bed last night just saying, you know what, I'm going to sleep on it, because I, you know, we were just kind of talking amongst friends and what we think this means. And there were a lot of opinions that were all over the place, but I think it was one that where you, sometimes you can't just rush to Twitter and start slamming things down. You almost have to just sit down, decompress, and really hear from a lot of different opinions, especially people that are involved in this type of stuff, right? And then put your opinion out there, because not everything is meant for you to just jump on Twitter and go, oh yeah, blah, 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 blah. Like, sometimes just really sit back and think, and just think it over, and just assess what's going on in the world. This is, things can really, really change.
Twitter's almost like being at the bar talking and not knowing someone's recording you.
Pretty much.
And if you are pretty good with your thoughts and expressing them, then you are pretty much fine. But it lives forever, and something that you may say emotionally.
The thing about
that you wouldn't say either in front of your family or friends or your boss or whatever, then, you know, you're like, or whatever. But
yeah. The thing about 2020 that is so amazing to me is every minute, just anything can happen. You know, so many things are happening in this short period of time. Just if you go back 2 nights ago, the NBA was fine. Like, we were actually saying, oh my God, NBA's back. NHL's back. Baseball's back. Everything can be taken away. Like, 2020 is insane, man. And I hope everybody's out there being safe and just really, I know it's a tough time, but you have to respect one another. And you have to remember you have kids and family. And I hope anything that comes out of your mouth, you really thought about, and you really thought about mankind, you know, and just saying the right things and still trying to be united, because there's so much out there that's trying to separate us right now. And there's so much hate out there that I hope we all just kind of like Big Ben Rothwell. If you go and you watch him, he's listening to both sides.
Yeah,
and
I commended him on that. He was not overreactionary in on either way. And if he was, right away he was tapering down and understanding.
And he's right in the thick of things.
He sure is. He's a business owner in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
But the sports world is definitely getting flipped upside down. And it could trickle over into MMA. We don't know.
By the way, especially those of you that have families, if you have kids, there is a saying, only the strong survive. But I think that could honestly be switched over to only the smart survive, too. I think only the strong survive is a little bit more of the, probably back in the caveman mentalities, maybe, when everybody was out on the hunt. Be smart. I think if you're smart and you think, put on the binoculars or on the side that says the future, you know, and think about how you want to guide your family. This kid that made that mistake of pretending he was militia and walking out there, he was not thinking. He was not thinking at all. What was that he did? I don't know, man. But his life's forever changed. He took away two lives, and that affected families. And then his life. He's only 17. His life's going to be affected for the next 25 years at least. Mm-hmm. Colby Covington, this is what he said. Oh, wow. You postponed your games. Want to prove you're really about change? Quit your multi-million dollar jobs and soft privileged lives playing a kid's game. Take a massive pay cut and perform the toughest job in America. Become cops. What do you think of that?
I mean, Colby's going to be Colby. I think half of it is out there to get reactions from people. He's actually been somewhat quiet lately. Mm-hmm. But this brought him out. The only thing I could say about Colby Covington is there are a lot of people, when you pointed to Twitter, that say these types of things and will never say it to you and to your face. The only thing I can give that dude is what he says is what he means, you know? And if this were in person, he would probably tell you the same thing. Now, he's one of the guys that I felt like put that out way too quickly.
I think
look what happened.
Shtick.
You think it's a shtick?
I don't think he feels that way.
I think he does.
Really?
Yeah, I think he does. But look how quickly things changed, you know? Like, it's almost like fighter or players called his bluff. And they went out and said, all right, let's cancel the season. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, man, you got to sit back and you just got to wait. You got to wait this one out.
Mm-hmm. This weekend we do have UFC on ESPN Plus 33, folks, by the way. I hope none of you misheard that we still have a card. No one's fallen off yet. So don't sweat that. We'll definitely go over that in just a sec, but we're still reacting to a sports world news. NBA and MLB players boycotting in protest of that police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Oh man, that was something else. I want to liven things up in just a second. There was another quick blurb in the combat sports world. Manny Pacquiao, his coach sees no point to the Conor McGregor fight. He says, why even make that guy rich? What'd you think of that?
Dude, I love that guy's quote. There was more to that too.
You could almost make that quote towards Floyd too. Floyd's out there just kind of pecking away. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's out there to box for the pure love of boxing and to entertain and to show us high level boxing. He's basically blatant and saying, "Hey, I feel like making another couple hundred million. What do y'all think about that?"
Mm-hmm.
And I think Connor's kind of reaching that point in a way as well.
It's so weird with Floyd because I think you're right, but I have difficulty coming at that guy because he did one of the most gangster things ever in his career. That's when he bought out his own contract and bet on himself. To me, dude, that's like one of the ballsiest things you could ever do as a fighter.
I think that's why he's got six bodyguards at all time, because I think he was beat up or something like that or attacked over that.
So this is the quote that I really love. It says, I mean, my God, this is boxing. We are boxers. McGregor's an MMA guy. We can't do MMA. He can't box. It's very simple. It is very simple. That is what it comes down to. They're two different sports. I know that people look at it and go, hey, they're both hitting each other in the head and the body. It's two different sports, and you have one guy that's really good at one and one guy that's amazing at the other. I just wish more people would see it like that.
You want to know something else that's funny? Pacquiao's only a minus 250 favorite.
That's, give me Pacquiao all day. We could do this fight 3 years from now. I'd still do it.
Yeah, because Pacquiao isn't going to like take a few rounds off to play around. I think he's just going to want to smash. Mm-hmm. Here we go talking about it, by the way. And there are going to be some fools that bet on McGregor at plus 190. I'll even go so far as to say this. If you're one of those fools, listen up, fool. Pacquiao should be an even bigger favorite in boxing. Same way, if they go to MMA, McGregor should be a massive favorite as well.
But you can't bet it.
And if they fight in the streets, McGregor would beat up Manny Pacquiao. Therefore, overall, McGregor's the tougher guy, the badder motherfucker of the two, okay? So if you take offense to me calling you a fool, you are, because in boxing, McGregor can't beat Pacquiao. I think I still stand by, and I said this 3 years ago. When did they fight? 2016, 2017?
It was just 17. Wasn't yesterday or the day before the three-year anniversary?
Yeah. I think Floyd Mayweather Sr. was 51. I was like, Floyd Mayweather Sr. could probably beat up McGregor if they just boxed. I still see him in the gym and going out there, and I think that would be a better fight. Boxers have incredible skills that they just don't lose. I mean, granted, you know, of course you'd want to give Senior some sort of a camp, but McGregor was tiring, you know, by like the sixth round, and I think Floyd Senior could go eight rounds with him and either draw him or win 5-3 or something like that. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but he should not have been in there with Floyd Mayweather Jr. Come on, that was ridiculous.
But do not bet that fight. I know we just threw the odds. The
Pacquiao?
Yeah, because here's the thing, and then this is what I think makes MMA so cool. We don't have those types of controversies. Well, if we do, they're very, very little, and most of them are old. But in boxing, you just never know what promoters are up to, what's going on in that sport. Just the judging alone always seems shady.
They ain't going to go to no judges, Pacquiao.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of rumors of boxing doing dirty shit. I would never put a lot of money on a fight in boxing.
I think I could scrounge up $2,500 to win $1,000 on Pacquiao.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, have you seen some of the bets in MMA lately?
I know.
That people have been putting? I wouldn't do something that like that.
Maria Agapova?
Yeah. And then before that. She
was
a big
favorite. It was like $25,000 to win $1,700 the guy did, and he lost. He got stung. Damn. That was a tough loss. Jason Miller's back behind bars, folks. Former UFC and Strikeforce fighter Jason Miller was charged a couple days ago. He allegedly committed residential burglary, car theft, and it was against somebody he knew. All this going down in the mean streets of Irvine, California. He's already like on a probation because of a domestic violence case from like a couple years ago. He pleaded not guilty to counts of first degree burglary and unlawful taking of a vehicle and grand theft auto. He's in a jail in Newport Beach. I guess September 12th is the pretrial hearing. Him being on probation is going to make this worse. Whereas if he wasn't, it maybe being a friend, I think something could be solved here. But him being on probation means he's probably back in trouble. But further than that, it really seemed like Mayhem had kind of cleaned up his act a little bit.
It did.
And I heard parts of an interview he did with Adam Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he had made an appearance with Ariel Helwani, kind of, I think, making amends for one of his appearances there as well. Although I didn't hear it, honestly. Just kind of read some headlines and stuff.
That was the one back when he was playing the role on...
was it Here Comes the Boom?
Here Comes the Boom. Yeah. Right? He wanted to be that character the whole time or something. That was like odd.
He thought he was Daniel Day-Lewis staying in character. He's 39 years old now. Hasn't competed in a while. Last time he did was May 2016 in Italy. Came in way overweight, got beat. But one thing is, when he was a coach on The Ultimate Fighter, man, he looked like he could be a real good coach. Mm-hmm. And he looked like he could really connect with kids just like him that have had some sort of a rough upbringing. I think everyone always associates that more with minorities. And, of course, we all know, can't be that ignorant to think every race has, you know, families that grow up in tough, difficult environments. But Mayhem's one of the ones that actually, I think, was able to do it, talk about it, and relate. And I thought he could have done something like that. Like, kind of like what we see with King Mo. King Mo's, his career's over, but he's, every weekend you kind of see him in a corner, or he's just out in Florida doing his thing, you know. Mayhem Miller had some really good jiu-jitsu back in the day. He had a good way of explaining the game. I don't know. I always thought he could maybe help out in that way.
He has a lot of opportunities in life and a gigantic support system. There's a lot of people that, despite the things that he's done, have seemed to always be there for him. It's definitely a guy that could turn things around, but every now and again he has these hiccups, and this one I think might cost him pretty good.
All right, let's do something fun here. We're going to change the tone of the show. We're going to do some fantasy matchmaking. All right, because they've been talking about it. Let's do it. This whole Bellator versus UFC. Dana says, who would I match up? A couple Bellator fighters got offended. Lima, Frady. Some of them have even been chirping at each other, especially Volkanovski versus Frady. Frady's a two division champion. He's also the lightweight champion. I think he even said he could beat Habib, but that's obviously more difficult of a task since Habib's never been beaten, and he's also the bigger of the two. I think more of the focus would be on Volkanovski. But I'm going to give you some names, Goes, and I want to hear from you. A, do you want to see the fight? And B, who would win the fight? So we're going to go division by division. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right. We're going to go men first. Bellator doesn't have a flyweight division, so sorry, Davison Figueiredo. You just kind of get to hang out. Bellator also doesn't have a bantamweight champion. So Peter Yan gets to sit out. Unless you want to tell me who's going to win between Archuleta and Patchy Mix and then tell me, you know, fuck all that. How about this one? Patricio Frady versus Alex Volkanovski. Do you want to see it? And if so, who wins?
I would definitely want to see it. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a good, fun fight. I don't know that Alexander Volkanovski... Him and Peter Yan are kind of like these new guys up at the top. And I don't know that they have really demonstrated much to say, who the hell's going to beat this guy?
Right.
Right? They're good and they're solid. But I don't know that they're dominant the way some of these other champs are. The way a Henry Cejudo was, right? He became dominant. They're not there yet. So a guy like Frady, I think would actually stand a decent chance.
So do I.
A really good chance.
So do I.
So I wouldn't really run to the hills and go, UFC all day, baby. That's a scary fucking fight. Pitbull does not mess around. So
I think Frady wins.
It's tough, man. It's really tough.
I'm hoping you don't ask me a follow-up question, but I'll stand on that right there.
I might be there with you, just stylistically.
All right. How about same guy, Patricio Frady versus Habib Nurmagomedov?
Nah.
We don't want to see it, right?
We don't want to see it. And
he wouldn't win.
I don't think he would win.
All right. But so far, we got one, the featherweight.
I mean.
How about Lima versus Usman? Did you want to say something still?
Well, I was going to say, obviously, the one thing that Habib brings is wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But Patricio's coach is his forte, one of them, right? Eric mm-hmm. Albarracin. So, I mean.
But I think the size would make a difference.
I think size is a big deal in that fight, yeah.
And Habib's so committed to the wrestling, he doesn't really stand too long mm-hmm. before he goes, all right, come here. Come here, you young pup. Let's play.
I mean, look at, well, look what happened to Chandler. Right? Waited too long. Something like that could happen too. But
yeah, and it wasn't even like the cleanest punches, man, when I watch him over and over. But he got the job done, you know. Lima versus Usman. We'd want to see that, right?
Hey, that, you know, honestly, Douglas Lima doesn't get the respect that he deserves.
I know.
What I will say about Douglas Lima is this. I think he can beat any of the UFC guys. What makes the UFC guys, and especially in that division, unique is being able to go through that road to get to the title. That is a murderer's row to get through that, right? You would have to put, even if you put at least three consecutive wins in that division, that means you have to see guys like maybe a Colby Covington, a Tyron Woodley, you know, those are good fighters to even get to that spot, right? To fight for a title. That I don't know he could do, but I think he could beat any of those guys. But in that particular fight, Usman just hasn't really shown weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go with Usman, I think.
Okay. But he's not going to win 50-45, right?
I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe 48-47, 49-46. I think Lima's strong enough to win a round, man. Maybe win two.
Well, see, the thing he'll is, probably lose if the he fight. Wins a round, though, that leads me to believe that he could probably even win the fight. You know, like
maybe. They don't have a middleweight champion. Their guy, Rafael Lovato Jr., vacated. He is battling an illness. So, Izzy, you're off the hook. Light heavyweight, Vadim Nemkov. He just fought. He just won the title. He beat Ryan Bader. The UFC doesn't have one now. So, the UFC doesn't have Blachowicz or Reyes out there.
But let's say John's still there. Obviously, I think we all just say John Jones.
We say John Jones.
And if you take the two other guys, I think it's...
I think Nemkov might have a shot against Blachowicz, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looked tough when he was on the ground with Bader.
Yeah.
He had good wrist control. He wasn't just... I think Bader was so threatened that Nemkov might sweep or just maybe offer some sort of a submission from the ground that Bader, remember, said, stand up.
Mm-hmm.
After taking him down, he said, stand up. And Bader's pretty much a veteran. He's actually got a decent submission game, but something concerned him, you know? So I would like Nemkov against Blachowicz. I don't know. I haven't seen as much of Reyes on the ground, but Reyes standing up is really, really tough. But it's so much easier if it's just John Jones and you go, oh, UFC all day. But here, I don't know. I'd want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'm a big fan of Patchy Mix. I'm a big fan of Archuleta as well, but I think Patchy Mix is going to win that fight. And him versus Jan, I'd want to see. So we want to go and say, well, let's play the whole matchmaker with, or let's predict that one fight up there at light heavyweight. Then we can do Bellator the favor. But last one, Bader versus Miocic.
I mean, I would think that the best Ryan Bader would put up a decent fight, but I don't know that he could run away from those big power shots for that long. And it's not like Stipe has the type of game where it's like, just put him on his back. Like, that's not that easy to do. So I give the edge to Stipe in that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it could be fun for a little bit of time, maybe a round or two.
Mm-hmm. The women... Cyborg versus Amanda at featherweight. We already saw it. But if they fought again, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see anything. I mean, Amanda wiped her out so bad that we should all be going, man, if they fought 10 times, she beat her 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
But Cyborg has fought many times at featherweight. So I guess you'd invest and see it. Why not? You know? Ilimale McFarlane. This is the only other one we can do because they don't have a bantamweight division or a strawweight division. Ilimale McFarlane versus Valentina Shevchenko.
I think it'd be fun. I think it would be a lot of fun, but I don't know that Ilimale would be able to get her hands on Valentina. Valentina's striking and footwork and movement and cage control is on a completely different level.
I agree.
So I don't know that Ilimale could get her hands on her, and that's what she needs to do to win that fight. And even then, even if she gets her hands on her, it's not like Valentina's a fish out of water. So, yeah, I give that one to Valentina.
I think if Dana had his hand on a stack of Bibles, he would have to admit that McFarlane versus Shevchenko, Frady versus Volkanovski, Lima versus Usman. Maybe Bader versus Stipe you could talk him into, but he's got such great potential with Ngannou, that how massive of a fight that is, that maybe he wouldn't. But I think there's at least those three that you could talk him into. And maybe, see, Nemkov doesn't have as big of a name yet. But Nemkov has beaten Phil Davis and Ryan Bader now, and Liam McGeary. Who knows? But the other three, I think Dana White would go, all right, I guess I'd like to see those and see what happens. I think he'd feel good about Usman and Valentina. So I think he'd walk away going, okay, I think we can get two out of three here, even if Volkanovski lets us down. Mm-hmm. Volkanovski, by the way, wasn't he saying bet $1 million on me, or was it $100,000?
A million.
Yeah. All right, folks. That's some fantasy matchmaking. Let's focus on UFC on ESPN plus 33. All right, guys, what we have here is a card. I couldn't say that last week. They did get hit hard a little bit with COVID, and this guy dropped off, and so did this guy. So let's match these two up. A little bit of that song and dance. They got 10 fights instead of 9. And to be fair, they haven't even gotten to the weigh-ins yet. So anybody that believes in jinxes, go knock on wood. I'll wait. All right. But I like seeing these couple names sprinkled in here and there. Christian Aguilera had a nice debut. He fights Sean Brady. Sean Brady's tough. Pollyanna Viana versus Emily Whitmire. Both are coming off losses, but both have fought in the UFC about 3, 4, 5 times. And so you're anxious to see who's going to maybe stick around. Honestly, the loser of this fight may not stick around, folks. Zach Cummings and Alessio DiCicco. Both have been around as well. I think both jobs, I think Zach Cummings' job for sure is safe. He kind of serves this purpose of seeing if someone's for real. You know, I'd like for Zach to just win 5 straight, and maybe he could become more of a contender, but that just hasn't happened. Mallory Martin versus Handa Siffer. Siffer's going to be the first person to fight 4 times in 2020. A little fun fact. Mackie Patolo versus Impa Kasangane. All right. I like Patolo's fighting style. He plants his feet and swings. And then we got Ankalaev versus Kutalaba. You see what I'm saying, Goes? This is a card.
Every one of those is good.
Yeah, there's little bits and pieces here. Unlike last week where you're like, okay, I'm in. You know, I'm actually going to be there at 3 p.m. when they kick off to watch these fights. Last week I was like, dude, just tap me on the shoulder when the main card starts.
I bet you if you look at the odds, it's not very disparaging on either side on any of those fights.
Yeah, you're right. Now, here's one where we took a little bit of a hit. Ricardo Lamas is going to fight Ryan Hall. I was looking forward to this.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Hall just has this tricky style that's difficult for people to solve. He's gotten Maynard. He's gotten BJ Penn, a few others. I think he's won 4 in a row. And Lamas was going to be ready for him, but Hall's out. So it's Lamas versus Bill Algeo. But still, I like Ricardo Lamas. Oh, I can't wait for that fight. Alexa Grasso versus Ji Young Kim. And Goz is saying that Kim could pull off an upset.
I think it's going to be a really fun fight. In fact, that's my pick for fight of the night. I think it's going to be good.
I'm looking forward to it as well. Robbie Lawler steps in because we lost Jeff Neal versus Neil Magny, but that's a good fill-in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Magny's going, what the fuck? Surprising
one.
Yeah, Magny's going, I wasn't expecting this.
That doesn't usually happen, yeah.
I know. He's like, Lamas is getting Bill Algeo. I got Robbie Lawler. No disrespect to Bill Algeo. He might be the next great champion. I don't know. And then we have Anthony Smith versus Alexander Rakic. I mean, those guys are top guys at light heavyweight. And that division's getting exciting in the sense that the dominant guy is gone. We got two guys competing for the vacant in Reyes and Blachowicz. And you got to believe the winner of this fight, the winner of Teixeira versus Santos, maybe. Or maybe just AJ, Anthony Johnson, you know, he could maybe walk into a title shot. I don't know. I doubt it, but maybe. So you got to believe all these are high stakes. You win, you're in a prime spot. You lose, I don't think you could be a champion until 2022 because you're going to need 2 or 3 to make up for this one loss. So this is huge for both Anthony Smith and Alexander Rakic. And that's what makes for a great fight, great main event.
There's no way that, I don't think it's going to the judges.
I don't think so either.
I think those dudes are going to go. Neither one of those guys
in
takes
the small
a step back.
Cage. Lawler in the small cage. These two in the small cage. Alexa Grasso loves to throw hands. She's in the small cage. Ankalaev and Kutalaba is going to be pretty violent too.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fun card, man. I'm setting aside all. I'm trying to get everything done. I'm not playing around. Oh, I forgot. Bruce Leroy's on this card too. Alex Caceres versus Kevin Kroom. So that's Saturday. It's all on ESPN Plus, and the prelims start at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. The main card is at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and we'll definitely be watching and betting. You have a parlay right now off the top?
I don't know, but I could put one together for this card.
I think I got one. You want to hear it?
Sure.
I don't know the odds. It'll take me half a second to pull them up here. I use bestfightodds.com, folks. I like Pollyanna Viana. She's the dog.
Whitmire's tough. She can be tough. She's what's the word?
Not scrappy.
Scrappy. There you go.
I like Pollyanna Viana. She's the dog. You know, Alec. You know Zach Cummings is the dog too.
No, I didn't.
He is just a grinder, man. He does not make it easy for people.
There's money to be made, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Robbie Lawler's a dog too. All it takes is one, and he'll shut you down. He's not easy to take down and hold down, but he's also older. But he's always been very, very athletic, man. And then I can't believe Anthony Smith is that big of a dog, dude. Holy cow!
How big?
If you take Smith, Lawler, and Cummings and Viana, yeah, four dogs, and I think all of them have a chance to win their fight.
How big of a dog is he?
Plus 225, Anthony Smith.
Huh. All right.
I know Alexander Rakic is pretty good. He's pretty violent, but he's lost before.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the damage that Smith, maybe they're looking at the damage that Smith took in the last fight.
That's true.
Who knows?
That's true. That Glover fight, man, that was something else. All right, folks, so there you have it, man. Of those four, just pick three. Do a three-team parlay. I kid you not. $100 might pay you about $1,000. $25 may pay you about $250. You might even get bigger odds than that. Because the Smith odds at plus 225 and the Lawler odds alone at plus 203, that's pretty big. I might have to play that for funsies. We got Black Friday coming up in a few months. I definitely want to splurge a little bit since I can't go out and spend money. Anyway, folks, that's our show for today. And thanks for hanging in there with us. I'm glad we were able to touch on a lot of different subjects out there. I certainly hope the NBA, I appreciate the players taking that stand, but I certainly hope they come back and finish this season. I think a lot of work has been put in by the NBA, by the players, the teams, you know, staying in that bubble. That can't be easy. And guess what? The next season's going to come up even sooner. Who knows how that one's going to be played out. I appreciate their stand. It's loud. It's been heard. But them canceling the season, I don't know what they can do for this big problem we have with social inequality, racial inequality. And it's sad. I hope we can. I think we just need to. I was telling Goes, the police chiefs of all these big cities, starting with the big cities, they basically have to get all of the people below them. I don't know what the chain of command is in police, but I believe there's a police chief, and then there's maybe captains or sergeants, lieutenants. And you basically say, hey, look, you're in charge of about 20. You're in charge of about 20. Grab their jackets. Grab their files. Look at them and see. Let's reevaluate them. Almost like a re-interview, you know. And mm-hmm. There might be some people we have to let go sooner rather than later if they've just had too much going on. And these police, they're protected. They got their unions as well. Probably nice severance. I don't know. And then we just get some new recruits. Remember that one saying in the movie Untouchables? If you're afraid of getting a rotten apple, don't go to the barrel. get it off the tree. And that's when they go and find George Stone, played by Andy Garcia.
True.
It's a great movie, folks. In the late 80s, it's about Al Capone. And it's called The Untouchables with Kevin Costner, Robert De Niro. But that's basically what he was saying was there was already bad cops infiltrated in the Chicago police system. So rather than finding a cop to add to their little squad unit, do you remember, did they have a name? They were just The Untouchables. They became The Untouchables, but that's where they went and got a recruit that hasn't been, I guess, poisoned yet. So there you have it. We end with a movie selection. We're out of here, folks. Go out there and be a champion.